You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. So if you need batteries for your truck, batteries for your trail cameras, TV remote controls, flashlights, you name it, Interstate Batteries has what you need. They have thousands of retail locations all over the United States. So stop in, talk to a battery specialist, or for more information, visit interstatebatteries.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ohio Huntsman Podcast. And today we talk about guns and ammo. So basically what we do is we kind of run through the different legal firearms and calibers that you can use to deer hunt in Ohio. Now, this isn't by any means an exhaustive list, right? Because there's basically any caliber that falls into the legal range. It's straight walled, you know. But we talk about the common ones, the most popular ones, what they're good for, you know, what we've seen as far as their performance, because everything's got pros and cons, right? So that's what we talk about today. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about our sponsor, Monster Whitetail Grub. They are an Ohio deer feed company, and they've got everything you need for feeding deer. They've got their signature feed, which is their Monster Whitetail Grub feed. It's like a texturized feed. It's got mineral mixed in. It's a good feed. We've had really good success with it. And I really like the fact that it has mineral mixed in, because once the physical feed is gone, the deer will continue to come back and check that spot for the mineral. If you want just straight mineral, I know a lot of guys like to run mineral this time of year, they've got that as well. So if you're interested in that, check out ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors, and there will be a link to, or that takes you to our website. And at that URL, there's a link to get in touch with them and order some of their stuff. So that's the best way to get in touch with them. And with that, let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to the Ohio Huntsman Podcast, where three brothers, Jason, Jacob, and Jeff, discuss all things hunting in Ohio. Our goal is to be your source for accurate and reliable hunting news and conservation issues in the great state of Ohio, as well as some fun and interesting conversations along the way. This is the Ohio Huntsman Podcast.
Are you listening?
All right, so for what is this, the third time or something here, Jeff? We're trying to record this episode.
Yeah, I think this is attempt number three.
Yeah, we tried to record yesterday with Jacob, Jeff, and I, and you know, we got started. We were having some audio issues. We disconnected, reconnected to try to get clean audio, because I know how annoying it can be to listen to audio that's got, you know, some kind of weird, you know, echo or tick. We were having a tick show up in the audio, and we got back on the call. You know, we're, what was it, 20 minutes into the second call, and I realized I never hit record again. So at that point, it was, you know, the evening had gotten away from us, and so here we are again, minus Jacob, because he's got to work today. So what we're going to attempt to cover today is the different, I guess, your different choices for legal deer hunting calibers, firearms, that kind of thing. Talk about the pros and cons of each. Just kind of have a conversation of, you know, what we've seen, what we've used, and, you know, let you guys listen in on that. Basically, what we're thinking is, you know, just a conversation like we would have if we were sitting around at the cabin or something, just talking about the different rounds and what we like about them, what we don't. But before that, I guess, Jeff, you and the wife are doing good in the with the stay at home order. You're not actually staying at home now, right?
No, I'm not actually staying at home. And I actually had an interesting experience today. Me and my boss were leaving work, and my boss had already gotten into his car and pulled out. And when he's pulling out one end of the parking lot, in the other side of the parking lot came a car. And this car pulls up next to me in the parking lot and, you know, kind of rolls down their window and asks, oh, hey, you know, you work in the day, you know, where do you work? What do you do? And then I come to find out it's the health department is who this guy is. And he was basically just kind of doing the rounds, kind of seeing what the people who were working, like what they were doing. But yeah, he just basically asked me, you know, as I work in the day, what do I do? Do I have any concerns or questions for him, you know, about the cleanliness of my work environment? And then he went on his merry way. You know, he only talked to me for maybe 30 seconds, but he stopped by and said hi.
Huh.
So.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty shocking. I don't know if someone called on us and said, like, hey, there's people working in this building, and right. I don't think they should be or what. But, yeah, he just basically, I mean, it was a 30-second conversation, and he went on his way.
Huh.
But
that's because I read on the what is it, coronavirus.ohio.gov or something, that you don't need, you know, with the stay at home order, you don't need like a permission slip or something. The police aren't going to be stopping people. They had, you know, they've got like a frequently asked questions thing in there, but it didn't say anything about the health department. But like you said, maybe somebody called and said, hey, you might want to check this out.
Yeah. I know according to the news, at least, there's a lot of people calling on businesses saying, hey, I don't think this business should be open. You know, can you go check it out? So yeah. Someone might have called on us.
Huh. All right. Well, and when we talked to Jacob last night, him and his family are doing well. You know, they're both of their careers are considered essential. So they are both working as well. Amanda and I are working remotely. Our businesses are still open, but we're all working remotely. So we've been working from home and making that work and trying to keep Ella occupied because she's here with us while we're trying to work during the day. And so it's been a bit of an adjustment, but you know, all in all, going well. You know, can't really complain. We're still getting paid and everything, so that's all good.
Yeah.
So I guess with that, we'll get into the topic today. So I think you know, you and I, Jacob, Dad, you know, we've all used a handful of different rounds and different firearms.
Yeah, I enjoy trying to use, you know, a different gun, different round, you know, shooting deer with a 12 gauge or a 45-70 can kind of get old sometimes, you know, the challenge has kind of gone away.
Well, we've seen a lot of meat loss with both of those rounds, right? I mean,
yes, absolutely.
You know, so there's some definite downfalls. Like I would say those two are probably the most, you know, a 12 gauge slug and a 45-70 are probably your most common deer hunting rounds in Ohio at this point, would you say?
Yeah, I think in the whitetail summary, it, you know, they have a little section on this, and I think the most common deer hunting gun is a shotgun still, and then it's, you know, followed right behind by the 45-70.
Okay.
So 12, I mean, they don't say what gauges, so that would be 12, 20, the oddball gauges, 410, you know, is all lumped into one, but
Well, and that's the one beauty of a shotgun is just by its nature. There's a lot of options or variability just because it's a shotgun, right? It's a 4570 is a rifle. It shoots 4570 ammo, and you've got a handful of choices for, you know, what you want for a hunting round, right? With a shotgun, you've got just your plain lead rifled slugs. You've got the sabot rounds. You've got some of these hybrids that can be shot out of a smoothbore or a rifled barrel. And so, you know, they're still very appealing for that reason, I think. And I would say because, you know, I was going to say ammo is cheap, but it very much depends on what ammo you're shooting. Those sabot rounds are quite expensive. Some of those,
right?
Was it and I think they've come down there, but for a while those Remington Premier copper solids or something.
I think really got those was the price of copper skyrocketed.
Okay.
And it was the price of copper was raising the price on those. Cause I know when the price of copper skyrocketed there, people were buying that ammo to pull the bullets out because it was,
oh, really?
It was worth it. You know, the price of copper had gone up so much that it was worth it to buy those shells, cut the bullet out, and sell the copper for scrap.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, I think that was the reason for that.
Yeah, for people that don't know, those are a sabot round, so they're meant to be shot out of a rifled barrel, and they, instead of a copper plated lead bullet, they're a solid copper bullet. And so it's a pretty hefty hunk of lead. And yeah, those things at one point were $20 for a box of five. You know, it was pretty wild there for a while. I mentioned that because when Dad switched over to, you know, from just the plain lead rifled slugs to those sabot rounds, I think he went with those Remington copper solids, and because at first they weren't bad. I mean, they were more expensive, right, of course, than the regular lead slugs, but they weren't bad. I don't remember what they were, but the price wasn't exorbitant like they got up to be. And that's when Dad switched.
I think you were only paying a couple extra bucks per box, you know, compared to the lead rifled slugs. You know, at the time, you know, you were paying, you know, maybe $7-$8 for the box instead of paying, you know, just under $5 maybe for a box of five.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too much of a hit on the wallet for the improved accuracy and such.
Yeah. So I still shoot a shotgun. I've got a some number of years ago. So I started with a 20 gauge smoothbore, then I went to a 12 gauge smoothbore, and then some number of years ago I bought a rifled barrel, and I've been shooting those sabot rounds ever since. And you know, I like them. I've had good luck with them. The one benefit, or another benefit, I guess, of 12 or 20 gauge, you know, is ammo availability. You know, regardless of cost, you can pretty much walk into any Walmart, sporting goods store, you know, wherever, and you're going to find a box of 12 gauge slugs. And, you know, there's pretty high odds you're going to find at least some form of 12 gauge sabot rounds. You know, they might not have the specific ones that you shoot, but if you shoot a common, you know, I think those Hornady SSTs are pretty common. You can, you know, I see those a lot of places. I'm shooting the, what are they? The Federal Trophy Copper, I think, right now. And, you know, I don't, no complaints. So, but then, do you know what year it was when they when they legalize the straight walled cartridges or thereabouts. I wish I knew that. That's something I should probably commit to memory.
Yeah. And this is just a guess. I think it was somewhere around 2010. I think it was around that time.
Okay. And I know for a while there, you know, the definitions that they were using floated around of how they were defining what was legal and what wasn't. But, you know, that was the time frame when they legalized the straight-walled cartridges in Ohio. And so that opened up a lot of different firearm choices and different caliber choices, of course. And basically, the way I always kind of think about it is you've got sort of like your pistol caliber straight-walled stuff, you know, like your 357 mag, your 44 mag. Then you've got more like, what would you call them? Just like rifle specific straight walled stuff. Is that how
Yeah. I would say rounds, you know, like the 44 Magnum and the 357 were designed more or less as handgun rounds where, you know, you're 450 Bushmaster, your 444 Marlin, you know, were designed as rifle rounds.
Right. Yeah. So the appeal of those pistol caliber rounds is if you've already got a 357 or you've already got a 44 mag, you've already got ammo. And you know, instead of adding another caliber, because I know that's, you know, as you start to build guns in your collection, right, you start to get caliber creep, if you will, right, where you've got every gun you own shoots a different ammunition, and you know, keeping ammo for them all is a bit of a headache. So right, if you've already got one of those 357 revolvers or a 44 mag revolver or something, you know, you can dual purpose the ammunition for that. The thing that and I've not hunted with a 44 mag. Jeff, you have. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is you got to be a little bit careful with the ammunition, your ammunition selection, in that make sure you're buying something that is designed to be shot out of a rifle, not from a safety standpoint, but from a performance standpoint. Right. If it's something that is let's say a self-defense round or something that's, you know, the testing, the ballistic testing, the bullet performance was done out of a 6-inch barreled revolver or a 3-inch barreled revolver, you know, the velocities out of a rifle are going to be very different. And therefore, the bullet performance is going to be different. Yeah. And so you just got
substantially faster. The velocities, yeah. I mean, depending on the round, but a lot of times they're substantially faster. So the bullets that are designed, you know, optimal speed is, you know, let's just say 1,000 foot per second. If you're pushing that up to, you know, 1,300 feet per second, that bullet may not perform as expected.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there are plenty of ammunition choices out there that are, you know, like your, I always get the Levolution or the Lever Evolution.
Yeah. I think, ammunition. Yeah. Hornady. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is, it's a hunting rifle. It's meant to, you know, they've done the testing out of rifle velocities and it's meant to perform.
So
that would be the only caveat, I guess. That the really nice thing about those is, and Jeff, you can attest to this, is low recoil on a round that is tame enough to be shot out of a pistol is pretty pleasant to shoot out of a rifle. You know, if you've got somebody that's recoil sensitive.
I my 12-year-old niece had never really shot before, other than some 22s. And I started practicing with her in the summer. And by the fall, she was completely confident shooting a 44 mag. You know, and she had no fears of the gun, which, you know, I started hunting with a 12 gauge. And I can tell you, probably at 12 years old, I was very afraid of the recoil still.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very good for someone recoil sensitive or noise sensitive. You know, my wife is, she's not so much recoil sensitive as a loud gun scares her. She's more noise sensitive, and it's good for that too. It's far quieter than a 12 gauge, 20 gauge. It's a pretty quiet round.
Yeah. That's, I hadn't shot one, but that's a good thing to point out, because that, yeah, some of these you know, you put a muzzle brake on a 12 gauge to tame the recoil, but then it man, that thing barks. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. That's like the 450 Bushmasters, right? The Ruger came out with those what, the American Ranch rifle or whatever, and they put that big muzzle brake on it to tame the 450 recoil.
Yeah.
But man, does that thing bark.
Yeah. Very, very loud.
Yeah. So then, you know, there's other pistol caliber stuff that's out there, but, you know, the 357 and the 44 mag are the two very most popular in that sort of category.
Yeah. And the main drawback of those guns is you really gotta be cautious about shot placement. You gotta get a pretty good shot. It's not like putting a 12 gauge hole through a deer. You gotta be cautious about your shot placement. And because they're such a small bullet compared to a 12 gauge, if you're used to following 12 gauge blood trails, tracking a deer shot with a 44 Magnum or a 357 can be a little bit more challenging. So if you're going to be hunting somewhere where you either need to knock the deer down quickly so it doesn't get across the property line that you don't have permission on, or somewhere where the deer can get in the real thick cover, you know, they might not be the option for you. And, you know, unless you shoot them in the shoulder, because, you know, that'll obviously stop them from running anywhere. But,
right,
you know, that's kind of the downside of those rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So from there, then you step up into these rifle specific straight walled rounds, and you've got a lot of options there, too. I would say the most common rounds, you've got the 450 Bushmaster. We talked, you know, the 4570 is by far probably the most popular straight walled, as at least according to the data that the ODNR has. It's that round's been around for ever, right? I mean, they used 4570s to shoot buffaloes back in the, you know, back in the the early 1900s, whatever, when they were wiping out all the buffalo.
Right.
So that, you know, that round's been around for a long, long time, which gives it a lot of benefits, right? If you're into reloading, there's tons of reloading data for the 4570. You can, you know, there's a guy I work with that really likes the 4570, and you know, he talks about, he reloads, and you know, just the flexibility you have in reloading. You can tame it way down, and
right. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, is you can tame it way down, or you can make some really hot loads out of it.
Right. Yeah. You like Dad talks. You know, you can kill a dinosaur with that gun. You know, because they use a 4570 in one of the Jurassic Park movies. And,
yeah.
Jeff, you pointed out to us that, Marlin actually lists on their website. Is that for all their 4570s or just the one?
It's just the one, I think. I'm not sure which. It's like the stainless version.
Yeah, it was the stainless yeah. with the black laminate stock and the longer Picatinny rail on the top. And yeah, Jeff sent us a screenshot of Marlin's website, and they've got the little silhouette images of the different type of game that it's good for, you know, and they had like deer, elk, moose,
bear.
At the very end, they had T-Rex. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, so I guess to say you can load those things pretty hot and kill a dinosaur with them, or you can tame them way down and basically have a plinking round. You know, I mean, this guy talks about, and I'm not a reloader, so, you know, this is just hearsay, you know, but he talks about, you know, just a couple grains of powder in there and, you know, even using wax bullets and stuff, but basically loading it down low enough to where in good light, you can basically see the bullet go down range, basically, like they're moving that slow. That may be some advanced reloading. I don't know. I'm not a reloader, so attempt that at your own risk, I guess, or, you know, at your own peril.
Slowing them down that much could be pretty dangerous. You know, you get a squib load and it gets caught in your barrel. That could be bad news.
Right. So, but yeah, 4570, there's, you know, since that round has come back sort of into popularity as more and more states have legalized it for deer hunting, there's been more and more ammunition, like factory ammunition options there. I think you could, well, I don't know. I don't want to say that you could always find ammo for 4570 because I don't know, but I know now you can, you know, ammunition is pretty common.
Yeah. And
you've got choices.
Yeah.
One downfall. Go ahead, Jeff. What were you going to say?
There's a wide variety of ammunition available. I mean, you can go, you know, all the way from, you know, hard cast lead to, you know, copper solids.
Right. Yeah. And what I was going to say is the one downfall, because it is, you know, a big enough round to, you know, in reality, you know, shoot a bear, shoot a moose, you know, it's big enough for that. It can be overpowered for a whitetail. You know, we've seen some pretty heavy meat loss from some of the rounds out there. I mean, you get a fair bit of meat loss with a 12 gauge too. I mean, that's a big hunk of lead, but if that's something that you're concerned about, you know, losing a bunch of meat to, you know, it just getting all bloodshot and torn apart, might be something to keep in mind, I guess, if you're looking at getting a 4570, or, you know, if you have a 4570 and you're experiencing that, you know, you might want to try some different ammunition selections that maybe aren't as hot.
Yeah. I mean, what would you say, Jason? What do you think we've seen? Like that blood, you know, the hydrostatic shock, you know, bloodshotting, you know, extending maybe 16 inches from the entry wound. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really doing some damage.
I mean, we've seen deer shot, you know, hard quartering, and you basically lose the front shoulder. You know, we've seen the front shoulder basically just be hamburger. And I mean, what I mean by that is not that you're grinding it up, but it's just like bloodshot jelly, you know, and losing a fair bit of the opposite hindquarter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I've shot one quartering hard towards me, shot it through the front shoulder, and that bullet exited through its ham. And that hind corner was, I mean, almost all a waste. You know, that's a lot of meat to lose.
Yeah. So, because you hunt with a 45-70, right, Jeff? Are you shooting reloads or are you shooting factory ammo?
A little bit of both, depending on the year. You know, I sight in for one or the other. Okay. Right now, I just happen to have fallen into a lot of the Leverlution, the Hornady Leverlution. It's not necessarily my favorite round, but I have a lot of it to shoot up, so that's what I've been using.
Yeah. So not necessarily a glowing recommendation, shoot this, but it's an option out there.
Yeah, it's an option out there. I mean, with a 45-70, I think you can basically shoot anything, and it's going to do some serious damage to a deer.
Right.
So I don't think... I mean, it shoots accurately, so that's all I can really ask for with a 45-70 round, you know. I mean, as long as it's shooting accurately, it's going to do its job.
Yeah.
I want to pause here briefly to talk about our sponsor, Mastin's Deer Scents. Mastin's is a premium scent company with non-premium prices. So the pricing on this stuff is really good. That's one of my favorite things about Mastin's is their pricing is really good. And they've got a wide variety of products. So they've got just your standard liquid scents, of course. But they've also got scented gel crystals. They've got scented candles. They have their double scent stacker, which allows you to basically layer scents. You use a liquid scent with a scented candle, like a deer scented candle. And it allows you to layer scents. So a lot of kind of unique and different scent products, and it's good scent. So if you're interested in something like that, check out mastinsdeerscents.com, or you can just go again to ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors. That's you know, I keep saying that because that's the place to go to find out information about our sponsors. So either of those URLs will take you to their website, and you can order products, see what they have to offer, and check out those prices that I like I said, that I really, really like. So with that, let's get back into the episode.
So then, if you had to guess, what would you say is the second most popular straight-walled rifle round?
I would say it's definitely the 450 Bushmaster is the second most popular right now.
And that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And ballistically, the 450 Bushmaster and the 4570 are pretty close, right? I mean,
fairly comparable. Yeah.
I think basically the main difference is because they're both that like 40 caliber bullet, right? Like they're in that that size. The 4570 is a rimmed cartridge, which has some implications on the type of rifle it can be shot out of. That's primarily a single shot or a lever gun, something with a tube magazine versus like a, you know, a detachable box magazine or stacked magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the 450 Bushmaster is a, that was developed to be run in the AR platform. And so it's a rimless cartridge and works well in, you know, like an AR. You can get an AR chambered in 450 Bushmaster and, you know, uses a detachable box magazine like an AR-15, and you're on your way, I guess.
Yeah.
So if you have a preference one way or the other of the type of firearm you want, it may limit your ammunition choices. That's the same thing, you know, the it's still pretty new. I mean, as far as it's been around a couple years, but as far as rounds go, the 350 Legend is another rimless cartridge and, you know, is same thing. Designed, I don't know if it was intended per se to be shot out of an AR platform, but it's basically a 223 case without the bottleneck on it.
Yeah, I think they definitely, it was definitely something they considered in designing it, was to make it so that it could be shot out of an AR platform.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely something that they, you know, made the choice to do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another one I've not shot. We've heard from some of you that, you know, that have been shooting it and are liking it. It's a lower powered round. I mean, it's a high velocity round, but because it's a smaller bullet, you know, you've got less energy there. So we'll see. Jeff, you just actually won a 350 Legend at a gun banquet here not too long ago. So we might be able to speak more intelligently on that after this fall, right?
Yeah. I recently just won one at a gun banquet. I haven't gotten to shoot it yet because I've actually been having some trouble finding affordable ammunition. You know, in the fall, there, you know, I saw all kinds of deals on it where, you know, for under $20 a box. And when I looked around for it after I won the gun, I couldn't find any for less than like $30 a box. So I'm still in the market to buy some ammunition. And with this current, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, rush on ammunition, I don't think it's going to get any easier on me in the near future.
Yeah.
You know, although I don't think that's something a lot of people are hoarding, it still, you know, if I want to make an online purchase, you got to buy a lot of ammo a lot of times to make an online purchase worth it. And a lot of the gun stores are so sold out of product that they're closing their doors.
Yeah.
So.
I and that was one of the things that they sort of touted about that round was that it was going to, you know, you were going to be able to get ammunition cheap because it uses a lot of what I'll say common components, right? It kind of uses the 223 as a parent case, which 223 is super common. The bullet is in that, you know, 9mm 357 area, right? And so you can use common bullets, common cases, and, you know, basically, you know, you've got you're cashing in on the those markets of scale with 223 and 9mm/357. But sounds like right now, at least, or you know, there after gun season, that might not have been the case.
Yeah. I know during gun season you could get some really good deals. You know, I remember thinking like, oh wow, you know, if ammo's gonna be that cheap, you know, maybe I should make the switch or at least get one to have in my arsenal, you know, have as an option. Right. And when I went to the stores looking for it, I couldn't find the ammo.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one and the 450 Bushmaster, you can, you know, can be shot out of an AR platform, like a semi-auto platform like that. Or, you know, I know a lot of guys shoot that Ruger American bolt action in 450 Bushmaster. You know, they also have that in 350 Legend now. I think a lot of the gun manufacturers are offering a bolt action platform that shoots both those straight walled rounds.
Right.
And while it seems, I mean, there's been a big, you know, I think Winchester spent a lot of money on marketing when they launched that round. And it seems like, you know, it's not necessarily just a flash in the pan, if you will. You know, there is still a question of how long and if that that round will continue to be popular. And as people get a few more seasons under their belt with it, if they're having good luck with it and continue to shoot it, or if, you know, the marketing turns out to be more hype than reality, you know, there's a little bit of a risk, would you say, Jeff, still in
there's
buying that rifle?
There's definitely some risk in what the ammo availability is going to be. I mean, I think this kind of leads us into the next round, which is the 4.44 Marlin, where, you know, it kind of filled a similar niche where people were looking for a brush gun. They came out with the 444 Marlin, and until the States started, you know, and then it kind of dwindled away, you know, because I think they came out with it in the 60s or the 70s. And until the States started, you know, the straight walled cartridge thing, that round it became pretty obscure. And the only thing that really kind of brought it back was States starting to allow straight walled cartridges for deer hunting. So it could go the way of the 444 Marlin, or, you know, it may get more popular than the 4570, you know. We don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah, I had never heard of the 444 Marlin until Ohio legalized it, and, you know, somebody pulled one out of their gun safe. It's like, oh, I can use this thing again. You know, it was like,
And it's probably, you could definitely make the argument that it's the best straight walled cartridge out there. Like, I mean, that argument could be made, you know. It's a pretty heavy hitting, flat shooting, you know, for a straight walled cartridge. It's a pretty good round, but it just doesn't have the popularity that the 4570 does, or the new straight walled cartridges do.
Yeah, I mean, can you even buy a rifle made today? Like, could you go to the store and buy a rifle chambered in 444 Marlin today?
I think they've started starting producing them again, but I think there was a period of time where they weren't producing them. You know, I think Marlin maybe had always produced them, but you know, the other manufacturers were not making them. So right. I mean, they became pretty obscure until more and more states, you know, they're only really popular in states that have straight walled cartridge laws. You know, Michigan did this before we did, and so they had a popularity in Michigan, and then, you know, they were just kind of staying alive in those areas.
Well, and I think, because now that we're talking about it, I think, you know, the any of the companies that make single shot rifles, I think they can tool up a new caliber pretty quickly, right? I mean, it's not they need to develop an action or make sure an action that will cycle. You know, a single shot is pretty easy to come by, you know, as far as firearm development goes. And so, I wouldn't be surprised if you could go to like CVA or something and get one of their break action single shots in 444 Marlin. You know, don't quote me on that, but I wouldn't be surprised to find one of their, you know, single shot rifles chambered in that, or, you know, some of the Thompson stuff, you know, they do that single shot rifles.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. My thing with any of this stuff, right? Like 12 gauge 4570 is, it just, one, like, I want a gun, 'cause I'm sort of, you know, on this, you know me, I like to research things until, you know, my eyes bleed. And, you know, so it's been a couple year kind of saga, I guess, deciding what if I'm going to get a new hunting rifle. And so here's my criteria, I guess I'll say, is I want something that's more fun, more pleasurable to shoot than a 12 gauge, right? Because a 12 gauge is not something you're going to go out and spend an afternoon at the range with, right? It's, you go out and you make sure you're sighted in good, and you go hunt because it just beats you up. I don't enjoy shooting a 12 gauge. Maybe some of the bigger guys out there don't mind it, but I don't enjoy range time with a 12 gauge. That's what I hunt with today, and it works great, but I would like something that, you know, I could spend more time with and enjoy shooting. For that reason also, I want something that is, you know, ammunition is readily available and reasonably cheap. I want something that because I really like long-term goal. I really want to get a suppressor on my hunting rifle. You know, you're allowed to hunt with a suppressor in Ohio. And I just, I don't know. I, for no other reason than just like, I hate having my ears ringing after I shoot at a deer.
Mm-hmm.
Not from like, you know, I think I'm going to be some kind of stealth hunter and the deer, you know, because I'm still going to be shooting supersonic rounds. It's still going to be, you know, you're still going to have that crack. So just from a protecting my own hearing, you know, I, pretty much everybody that we hunt with that's older is, and whether it's attributed to guns or not, they all are, you know, getting to the point where it's like, what? I can't hear, you know, like they're just, their hearing's starting to fade and I don't want that. I don't,
right. I don't
want to be a man that can't hear anything.
Yeah.
So, and, but you know, and I don't want something so powerful that I'm going to lose a bunch of meat. Right. And that's one of the
right.
downfalls of a 12 gauge or a 4570 is, you know, you, if you shoot them in the shoulder, you're going to lose the shoulder. Right. I mean,
yeah.
And maybe with anything, you know, if you shoot them in the shoulder, you're going to lose something. Right. But
right.
those are kind of my criteria, I guess. And so I've been researching, you know, is it 450 Bushmaster? Is it 4570? But I, you know, I reload and I tame them way back. Is it not, you know, then they came out with the 350 Legend. So is it the 350 Legend? So I'm still undecided, but
yeah,
that's and where I'm at.
The other thing is where I'm kind of at, where had I not won a 350 Legend, why I probably wouldn't have bought one is what's next? You know, who's going to come out with something better next year? You know, because I don't think the 350 Legend is the end all be all. You know, I think it's, you know, when it comes to deer hunting, maybe it's a little underpowered for distance. You know, it loses a lot of energy for long range shooting, which
yeah.
I mean, I'm not typically taking very long shots, but the opportunity has arose, and I've, you know, I've connected on some really long shots with the 4570, and I mean, had plenty enough energy. You know, I probably could have shot it twice the distance and it still would have had plenty of energy to take a deer down.
Yeah.
Where
I've been
with the 350 Legend, I don't know.
Yeah. I've been doing some research because I'm working on an article for the website comparing 350 Legend to 450 Bushmaster. And so looking at, like, you know, kinetic energy charts and velocity charts, and I've been watching some videos of some guys doing some like 100 yard testing on 350 Legend rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because it is a new round, you've only got a handful of choices, right? You've got some Federal
right.
rounds, you've got some Winchester rounds, and Hornady may have a round now.
I think maybe they do. Yeah. But I think
Don't
it's mostly Federal and Winchester.
Yeah. But you know, the one guy in particular I'm thinking of, he, you know, he was getting some pretty, I'll say, variable performance at that 100 yard mark, where, you know, bullets weren't opening, or, you know, they were just acting differently at
mm-hmm.
distance than they were, you know, at a 20 yard shot. You know, and so if you get, I would say, from what I'm seeing, I'm thinking, yes, you can get on target, you know, it's accurate enough to shoot to 200 yards, but ballistically, you know, I don't know that a 200 yard shot on a whitetail is ethical. And as soon as I say that, you know, everybody's going to say, oh,
right.
I have everybody telling me I shot one at 200 yards and it dropped in its tracks.
Yeah, I think
anything's possible, But
right.
I'm thinking that's a 100-yard and in round.
Yeah. I think the main thing that needs to happen is there still needs to be a lot of engineering done in the actual bullet, the actual projectile. I don't think they have that quite dialed in yet. The engineering isn't, they're not as reliable as other rounds, you know, with expansion and stuff like that, because they just haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, that and the reloading gets complicated because, you know, you can use 9mm or 357 bullets in that. Though, right. You know, a 9mm bullet is definitely not designed to, you know, perform, open, expand at those kinds of velocities. And so,
right,
you know, for shooting at the range, it's great. But as a hunting round, you know, I would want to be doing a lot of homework and a lot of, because that's, you know, some of the stuff I've been seeing as well, is some of these guys are reloading and, you know, getting very mixed results with reloaded rounds, not from a consistency of velocities, but just a consistency in ballistic gel on downrange performance.
Yeah.
So I would agree that, you know, they're, it would be nice to see some bullets developed specifically for, and what was that company, Maker? Was it Maker Bullets? Maker?
Oh, I
think it was Maker Bullets or something. And don't quote me on that, but they had their, like, I think it's Maker Bullets. They had a bullet for 350 Legend. I think they're calling the T-Rex or something like that. It's a solid copper bullet. And man, this thing, I mean, they're developing this bullet to be reloaded. You know, they don't, well, I think they do sell finished ammo, but they're mainly, you know, their main thing is selling the components to people who are going to reload. And they're developing this bullet for 350 Legend. And some of the data, or the, I guess data is a strong word, the images I've been seeing of some of these bullets is pretty impressive. Like massive expansion, you know, these things are holding together at those rounds, because that's the problem you run into, right? Like a 9mm bullet shot at 2,000 feet per second is just going to disintegrate.
Right. You know,
it's meant to function at much lower velocities than that.
Right.
But so I guess, long story short, yes, I think there's still some work to be done on bullet development, projectile development, for 350 Legend at those higher velocities, because it is a bullet, you know, like we talked earlier, those common components, right? You can use a 357 bullet. And even in that, like, there's just some stuff with reloading, there's just some stuff that needs to be, because the and again, I am not a reloader, but I've done some looking into this, and I want to say the allowable bullet diameter is kind of wide in order to capture like both that 9mm and 357. But then, you know, you run into, was the gun developed to be shot on the low, you know, with projectiles on the low side of that range, on the high side of the range, you know, it just gets,
right,
it's weird when you get into reloading that round, it seems like.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. It's an interesting round, and I'll be interested to see what happens with it in the future. You know, if, you know, more or less the engineering of it, and if someone comes out with something, you know, similar, different, better, worse, you know. I feel like someone else has got to think like, oh, you know, we should have done that, or already had something in the works that they were developing. You know, and it was kind of an arms race, you know, who could get there first. Well, now that 350 Legend, you know, Winchester came out with theirs, you know, Remington or whoever is making sure theirs is perfect before they enter the market, because they they now have another competitor that they need to prove that they're better than, you know, so.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I mean,
well, and, you know, the other thing is there's, because after the 350 Legend came out, there was some, I heard some guys talking about a round that I didn't know about, but is basically a, I think a 357, not a 357, a 350 Legend, but instead of a rimless cartridge like the 357, which, like we said earlier, can be shot out of an AR platform or you know, similar semi-automatic, you know, detachable magazine, there was the, or there is the 357 Maximum, which is different than the 357 Magnum. My understanding is it's a hotter, longer, the cartridge, the case is longer than the 357, so you can get more powder in it.
Right.
And it's more or less a 357 or a 350 Legend, but it's a rimmed cartridge instead of the rimless cartridge. And that was designed back in the 80s. So maybe now with the resurgence of 350, or I guess not the resurgence, the development of 350 Legend, maybe you'll see a resurgence in 357 Maximum and, you know, people offering rounds, you know, ammunition and rifles in that caliber. Because right, that could be, a competitor to 350 Legend.
Yeah. And there's some other obscure rounds out there, too, that, you know, you may see the popularity of, you know, grow, or
right,
maybe even see one of these companies really, you know, relaunch it. You know, whoever has the patents to it or whatever, say like, oh, well, we have this round that, you know, we developed years and years ago, and it kind of, we stopped producing guns in it, and maybe we should start producing one and see what happens.
Yeah. So I think we've been talking about ammunition and rifles here for a while. Is there anything else you wanted to cover in this conversation, Jeff?
Maybe just kind of cover the I don't even know what to call them, the ultra large caliber handgun rounds that you can get most of the time a single shot in, you know, the 500 Smith and Wesson, the, what is it, the 454 Casull. You know, those rounds are basically good for 75 yards or less. The 50 AE, you know, I've seen people on the internet have, you know, single shots made of that.
Or actually
I think I've seen some people hunting with ARs that were in a, I'm not, I think it was the, what is it, the 50 Beowulf. Those are all, I mean, I've never shot any of them, but they, I mean, they're all pretty large, heavy bullets. So if you're shooting at close ranges, they'll for sure do the job.
So. Yeah, I know very little about those other than they exist.
Yeah,
they're definitely more specialty, you know, finding factory ammunition for those is going to be a bit of a challenge, right? You're going to have to go to someplace that carries, you know, some of that more specialty ammo to find that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but most likely you're going to be reloading, really, if you're shooting those, I would assume. Because I know guys in Michigan, they really like to shoot that 500 Smith & Wesson. You know, that's what it is. Yeah. But they really like to shoot that. And, you know, there's a whole reloading community there. You know, you can online, you can kind of
get all the information. And, you know, that's just a round that they like. It's a lot more popular there for deer hunting than I think it is here.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not that I know everybody that deer hunts in Ohio, but I don't know anybody that hunts with it here.
Yeah, I think, you know, just on internet groups, I've seen one guy, you know, talk about it, you know, like talk about his harvest and, you know, okay. I mean, that's a big hole. You're putting a really big hole through a deer with that. And,
yeah.
I mean, it'll definitely work. If that's what floats your boat, then it'll work.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Hopefully this was interesting or helpful. You know, maybe it gave you some insight into a round that you hadn't heard of before, or, you know, you weren't real familiar with. And let me know. Should I go? You know, we've kind of talked about my criteria. What do you guys like? What should I go with? Should I go 450? Should I go 350 Legends? Should I go 4570? What do you like? Let me know.
I'm going to give you my recommendation. And this is probably just because I'm curious myself. Is I say you get in the reloading and do the 444 Marlin. I think that would be a pretty good, you know,
but I gotta combination. Find a rifle for it, right? Like,
yeah, and I you can find them, and I don't think you're gonna pay much of a premium over a 4570 or a 44, you know, or a 44 Magnum, you know, lever gun. I think you can find them. So that's my recommendation, but that's more selfish because I want to see what it, you know, what it's like.
How does that fit into my suppressed criteria, though? Because it's going to be, it's a rimmed cartridge. It's going to be a lever action. Right. So yeah. I'm going to have the barrel threaded, probably.
Well, didn't they just either Henry or Marlin come out with some lever actions with threaded barrels?
Well, Henry came out with what they're calling their X series. I don't know if they're chambered in 444 Marlin. I'll have to do some homework there and see, because I mean, you know, I'm sure the diehard hardwood walnut stock guys hate the new X series rifles from Marlin, but honestly, I mean, it sounds stupid, but I don't know. I just didn't want a lever gun. I don't know why. I just didn't. A lever gun wasn't appealing to me. Mm-hmm. Well, now that they've come out with these that are, you know, a little more on the tactical side, right? It was like, well, maybe I could do a lever gun.
Yeah. A lever gun is definitely a little different. You know, I don't know. There's definitely a different feel to it.
Yeah. So I just pulled up Henry's website here real quick, and their X series is, of course, they have it in 4570, but then their other options are 45 Colt, 357, or 44 Mag. And then you can also get an X series in a 410. Shotgun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you'll just have to contact them and get one custom made.
I'll get right on that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right. If they give you any trouble, just be like, don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
They'll jump right on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, like I said, hopefully this was helpful, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Stay healthy, stay safe.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week. Hopefully, like I said, that was interesting or helpful to you in some fashion. And let me know, like I said in the episode, let me know. Give me your insight on what caliber, what gun, what do you like? Given the criteria I talked about in there, what is it that, if you were me, what would you choose? So let us know on social. We're Ohio Huntsman on Facebook, OhioHuntsman_podcast on Instagram, and shoot us a message. We always post, make a post for each new episode, so you can find that post, or you can send us a direct message. Whatever you like, lots of ways to get in touch with us. So with that, I will let y'all get back to your week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.